Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Gabriel India Limited Q1 FY26 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Atul Jaggi, Managing Director from Gabriel India Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Good morning, everyone, and a very warm welcome to all of you present on the call. Joining me today, we have Mr. Mahendra Goyal, CEO of ANAND Group, Mr. Mohit Srivastava, our CFO, Nilesh Jain, our Company Secretary, and SGA, our Investor Relations Advisor. We have uploaded our results and investor presentation for the quarter ended 30th of June 2025 on the stock exchanges and on the company's website. Hope you all had a chance to go through the same. As you all know, we recently announced a significant milestone in Gabriel India's growth trajectory. The board has approved a composite scheme of arrangement, ushering in a new chapter in our strategic evolution. This move goes beyond restructuring. It is a transformative step aligned with ANAND Group's broader vision to integrate capabilities, scale up operations, and establish Gabriel as a central pillar of its automotive component business. Our ambition is to transition from a suspension-centric company to a diversified and innovation-driven mobility solution provider. As part of this effort, we have recently identified four entities: Anchemco, Dana ANAND, Henkel ANAND, and ANAND CY Myutec for potential acquisition under this scheme. This initiative builds on the momentum set in 2023 through our strategic partnership with Inalfa Roof Systems. This proposed arrangement will further diversify our product offerings, reduce dependence on a single category, strengthen our technology collaborations, and enhance our presence across both OEMs and the aftermarket segment. Continuing this diversification strategy, Gabriel India is also entering into a joint venture with JINhap, an affiliate of JINOS, a South Korea-based company. The JV will operate under JINhap Automotive India Private Limited, with Gabriel holding a 51% stake and JINOS 49% stake. The JV will focus on design, development, manufacturing, and distribution of fasteners for automotive and industrial use. In addition, JAIPL will enter into a technology license agreement with JINhap Corporation Limited, a leading specialty fastener manufacturer and affiliate of JINOS, granting access to proprietary technology and technical expertise essential for producing a broad range of fasteners. Now, let me provide a brief overview of the company's operations and key highlights in the automobile industry. In Q1 FY26, our standalone operating revenue grew by 14% year-on-year, reaching 985 crores, supported by strong performance in all our segments, with two- and three-wheeler growing by 12%, passenger vehicle growing by 11%, and CV plus railway division and aftermarket combined growing by 29% year-on-year. EBITDA grew by 16% YoY, reaching 91 crores, with margins improving from 9%-9.2%. We achieved EBITDA margin of 9.9% in our consolidated business, compared to 9.6% in Q1 FY25. This improvement was primarily driven by strong performance from Gabriel standalone and Inalfa. In the quarter gone by, IGSS reported revenue from operations of 114 crores and EBITDA margin of 14.4%. To reiterate, we will double our sunroof capacity by the second half of CY25 to meet the growing demand. On a consolidated basis, our quarterly revenue stood at 1,098 crores, showcasing a strong growth of 16% on YoY basis. EBITDA for the quarter stood at 108 crores, reflecting a strong growth of 19% on a YoY basis, with EBITDA margin standing at 9.9%. PAT stood at 62 crores, marking 8% YoY growth. Now, coming to a brief on the industry, two-wheeler and three-wheeler saw a flattish quarter reaching 6.1 million units. This reflects a combination of OEM-led inventory correction and subdued demand for the entry-level fuel-efficient commuter bikes, which still continues to be the major part of the volume. The scooters were up by 6% and motorcycles overall was down by -1%. Coming to the passenger vehicles, the segment delivered a modest 1% YOY growth, reaching 1.2 million units during the quarter. This performance was primarily constrained by a limited pipeline of new launches. The entry-level models remained under pressure, impacting the car sales by -6%. SUV continued the growth trajectory with a 9% upswing. Coming to the commercial vehicle, the segment posted a mixed performance while the total sales reached 2.4 lakh units, reflecting 1% YOY growth. While M&HCV segment was up by 9%, LCV, which is a major chunk of the segment, was down by 1%. The bus segment remained stable, driven by consistent demand for school and the staff transport. On the EV side, especially in the two-wheelers, we saw a good 30% jump as compared to the Q1 last year. With the near-term outlook remains cautious, a sustained recovery will hinge on the rural demand revival, fuel price stability, and overall economic condition. Notably, the RBI's cumulative 100 basis point repo rate cut over the last 6 months in anticipation to gradually ease borrowing costs potentially may improve the vehicle affordability and strengthen customer sentiments over time. On this note, I come to an end of my opening remarks. I now request the moderator to begin the question and answer session.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Jay Kale from Elara Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning and thanks for taking my question. So my first question is regarding, you know, your existing business. We have spoken of, trying to get a lot of new orders or new customers and likelihood of gaining market share in two-wheelers suspension. So I just wanted to check, where are we in that trajectory in terms of approvals, in terms of, incremental growth over the industry? And a similar question on the sunroof business as well. While you all have spoken of Hyundai Kia as customers, but where are we in the discussions of, getting orders from the other players as well?
Thank you, Jay. The first part of the question is related to two-wheeler. Now, definitely, as you have seen, the growth that we had in the first quarter was 12% against a market which was relatively flat. Now, there are two aspects to this. One is the new models, new model launches, and second aspect is where the customers where we are predominantly present, like TVS, Suzuki, Honda. These customers have shown far better growth than the overall industry growth. While you know that Hero was significantly down this quarter, whereas the TVS Honda and Suzuki have been continuously growing. So that is definitely helping our cause. The transition into few multiple models in terms of the premiumization and the inverted front forks also help in better price realization with the market, because the upside-down front fork production has been continuously increasing quarter on quarter as compared to last year. If I compare with the first quarter, the numbers were around 2,000, 3,000 a month, which has now gone up to 15,000, give and take, a month. So that also is helping the overall two-wheeler story. Now, coming to sunroof, with the other customers, beyond Hyundai and Kia, right now, again, The status remains the same. We are in the discussion stages. We have received the RFQs. We are responding to the RFQs there, but we don't have, still have a firm LOI from any domestic or any other customer beyond Hyundai and Kia. While with the Hyundai and Kia, the journey continues. Till now, we don't have a formal LOI from this customer.
And this, just in continuation to that, this capacity increase of 200,000 to 400,000 does kind of factor in some bit of orders X of Hyundai Kia as well, right, to utilize those. Or these can be largely met by ramp-up of Hyundai Kia as well.
No, so the second line utilization also considers the other customers. Okay, so it is not only 100% Hyundai Kia, but the some capacity consideration is there for customers and orders models beyond what we have today.
Understood. And just one more on you know, the fasteners JV that you've recently announced. If you could just help us some you know, some flavor on you know, where are we in terms of orders over there, key customers. And how do you see that ramp up going forward? What should be you know, initial revenue run rate maybe in the first or second year?
You are talking of the Jinhap, the Korean JV. The question is.
Yeah, the Korean JV with for fasteners.
So currently on that we have to construct a sort of plant there. So we are at that stage where we will start the construction of the plant. And in terms of in the first phase, again, it will start with the localization of the products which are being imported. The total import would be of the tune of around, say, 120 crores, which will be in the first phase. And then parallelly, while we are doing this, we will continue the engagement with the other customers beyond the anchor customers to sort of start filling up the order books. You would like to add something on the? Yeah.
Okay, and just one last question. You know, your margin trajectory, I mean, it has been you know, impressive and trending towards 10%. But you know, you had mentioned that this 8 to 10% journey. Yeah.
May we request you to return to the question queue, as there are several participants waiting for the questions.
Sure. Will.
Okay. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to 2 per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the queue. Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Mumuksh Mandlesha from Anand Rathi Institute Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity and congrats on the healthy results. So firstly, on the result side, what was this MMS, the Chakan 2 plant revenue and profits for the Q1? How that business is doing, sir? And in suspension side, we saw very good on CV railway segment growth. Can you just explain what led to the strong growth there? And on the sunroof side, can also share the PAT margin for this quarter, sir?
Sorry, on the sunroof, I could not understand. Maybe
PAT margin. You have shared the EBITDA margin. Can I also share the PAT margin for the sunroof business for this quarter?
Okay. So, yeah, the first question moves. Thanks a lot. The first question is on the MMAS. See, we are, as I mentioned earlier also, we are expecting around the MMAS contributing around 4% to the total top line of the Gabriel standalone. Now, in the first quarter, we booked around 30-odd crores of sales. We are looking at a better second quarter. But overall, the projections remain what I had mentioned in the past also, 150-odd crores, which will be close to 4% addition into that. In terms of the profitability, again, as you know, again, plant to plant, it is now become another plant of Gabriel. So plant to plant, we generally don't share the profitability. But yes, we know there are certain challenges in the MMAS business. We are working on two aspects of it. One is to reduce the losses by sort of optimizing the cost part of it. And secondly, we are also looking at how do we sort of improve the order book, which will take definitely some time, because it cannot happen in one day. So I'll not be able to share the exact plant by plant profitability of this, but what we are anticipating from that business, that part of the business, is being positive in Q4 and PBT positive.
Positive.
Alpha PAT margin would be around
5.5%. Got it. And sir, on the sunroof side, sir, any further new orders, then, sir, or on the last update remains same? And for this upcoming Hyundai VC4 order, what kind of utilization levels for this new plant we see with this order, which is flowing next year, sir?
So that for the new plant, I believe we are talking of the Talegaon plant. We are in discussion with the customer. The final decision is expected to happen in the coming week. So we'll come to know about that. But yes, we are in advanced stage of discussions. Post the quotations that have been submitted. But we will come to know in few weeks' time once the decision is done by Hyundai on the acquisition.
Got it, sir. So on the recent group acquisitions, any guidance you want to share? How do you see the growth for each of these businesses over the medium term? And any data available, what could be the PVCV revenue mix, ICE revenue mix for this company, sir?
See, on the the fastener business, what we have shared is we are looking at, obviously this year we will be starting the plant construction and then the operations of the plant. We are looking at 180-200 crores of revenue coming by 2030 is what we had projected, and with a double-digit EBITDA is what we had already shared. The business primarily would contribute, will be coming from the passenger car side. Yeah, please.
Yeah, so I think this business is with a concept of Make in India. And of course, all of us know that there are many players in India, but there are certain parts which are being imported by customers actually. And it's a customer-driven program where we will have opportunity to localize parts for customers and help Make in India basically overall.
Got it, sir. And just lastly, sir, can you update on the CapEx side for this year? Because I think first quarter has seen a larger number for the suspension. Or can you just share the CapEx outlook for FY26 for suspension and sunroof business, sir?
So just to again clarify, Mohit, the first quarter where we see CapEx, that also include the MMES acquisition part, which is around 40 crores have been contributed there.
Okay.
The rest has been the regular capex, our expansion capex, and for the year on the suspension business, we are looking at 150 crores of capex, and IGSS we are anticipating around 50 crores, but that would all depend upon the acquisition and the Pune location, so that number may still change, but we are looking at 150 crore on the suspension side.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Thank you,
folks. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, please limit your questions to 2 per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the queue. The next question comes from the line of Aditya Khetan from Smith's Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Sir, first question is onto the front fork production. Sir, you had mentioned like this has ramped up to around 15,000 a month from earlier, so 3,000 a month. Sir, this has been particularly from which quarter, if you can highlight? Because sir, we look at the margin trajectory compared to last quarter has been on the lower side only. So just wanted to know this change has been from which quarter and has that flown to the bottom line?
There are two aspects. Thank you, Aditya. There are two aspects to the question. One is the numbers that I mentioned were against for Q1 this year with respect to the quarter one last year. Okay. Especially on the inverted front forks were the number. Secondly, on the margins, yes, while definitely the margins from all the ramp-up and the new products have flown in, the certain challenge on the MMAS also has been there for the first quarter, which we have already discussed in the past also, for which we are working on, and that is what I said in the previous question, that we are anticipating that part of the business turning out to be positive by the end of the year, quarter four.
Got it, sir. Sir, onto the Chakan 2 plant, which we have stated that plant has been completed. Just want to know, sir, what was the CapEx figure and what is the incremental revenues we are expecting from this plant?
I just mentioned this. We are looking at around 150 odd crores as an incremental business coming in for this year.
Got it. Got it. Okay. And sir, onto the sunroof side.
CapEx have already been earlier shared. They are all in the public domain. So.
Got it, sir. Got it. Sir, onto the sunroof side, sir, just wanted to clarify. The CapEx for H2 is around 70 to 80 crore.
For the sunroof, one of the key, because we have already invested in the second line, now the next CapEx would be coming primarily from a next plant coming in, what we have been discussing. Now that will depend upon primarily the decision that happens on the business acquisition for the Talegaon plant of Hyundai and other customer RFQs that we are addressing. So once that happens, then the CapEx will come into the play for the second plant.
Got it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Aditya.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Param Vora from Trinetra Assets Managers. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning, and thank you for taking my question. So what I wanted to ask was that the company is already making sales to the railways. So can we see any growth expectations, in regarding financial year 26 and financial year 27?
On the railways is the question?
Yeah, yeah.
So definitely, railway, it is always linked with the number of bogies and the number of coaches that the government is planning for the new trains. We are present across all the product segments, including the Vande Bharat and Train 18 and the locos. So definitely, there is a lot of thrust from the government on improving the railway connectivity. So we will see a growth. Now, how much of what is the number of coaches that they are planning for 27, we will have to wait and watch. But we are anticipating a reasonable growth coming this year also and the next year also.
Okay. And next question is that while the domestic dominance is a key driver, are there any plans to elevate company's global presence and increase the share of export revenues?
So there are definite plans to improve the exports, not only in the shock absorbers part where we are in discussion with some of the customers. We are also looking at improving the exports through two product sub-segments, I would say. One is the solar dampers and second is the e-bikes, which are primarily for the European market. The solar damper is again a global product that is being done. We have already won a couple of orders where for the exports. where I'm expecting the production to start in the quarter one next year for the exports, while the solar damper production will start this year, but in this quarter rather. But it will be first for the domestic market and then it will be for the export market. Similarly, on the bike part, we are expecting the production to start by the end of the year or Q4 25-26. Which will definitely add on to the export in addition to what we are in discussion with some couple of customers on the shock absorber side, the automotive shock absorber side.
Okay, thank you. I'll get back in queue.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Abhishek Kumar Jain from Alpha Accurate. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. So in this quarter, we have seen that employee cost and other expenditure is high. Is it because of the integration of your numbers of the MMS, or is there any one-offs in this quarter?
Thanks, Abhishek. So there are two aspects to it. One is the integration cost of MMS has also been factored in, and some part of the Project Rise cost also has been factored in. The restructuring cost has been factored in for the activities that we have completed till now. So both have been factored in.
Okay, so there is no one-offs apart from the integration.
So there is no these are all sort of costs that we have incurred, obviously, for all the growth activities that we are doing in. There is no abnormal expenses that we have booked into beyond this.
Okay. And as you are targeting around 150 crores revenue from the MMS in FY26, so what is your expected EBITDA on this 150 crores revenue?
So, exactly I will not be able to share, as I said, it is a plant of, it is a separate one of the plant of Gabriel, so we will not be able to share the expected EBITDA. The only thing that, as I shared, was we are looking at it being PBT positive by quarter four of this year.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's all.
But it will, again, just to clarify, it will have a lesser EBITDA than the standalone business.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Pritesh from Lucky Trading. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, just one question. Now, considering the consolidation of your group entities and, addition of a number of product lines, if you have to call out, the revenue growth rate combined entity, what should be the range of the revenue growth rate that you would look at considering these addition of product line and the product expansions, capacity expansions that you are doing for 26 and 27? Any ballpark revenue growth you want to give out?
I think from the consolidation point of view, of course, there will be something will be totally consolidated from the sales point of view, and some of them will be not part of the sales. But we have to do the consolidation of whatever is as per the accounting standards. So I think we will have almost 20 to 25% jump in the sales of Gabriel, which is the size of two businesses which we have already shared on the investor portfolio when we have presented or also reflected company-wide results. So those were available on those sites also, basically. But this is what we expect, around 20% jump and the Gabriel sales in addition to the Gabriel normal growth.
Okay, this is in addition to Gabriel's normal growth.
Yes.
Okay. Now on that base, if you have to look at your expansions, what kind of a top line growth we should look at, a year from now, let's say in FY 27?
No, sorry, you'll have to repeat the question. I think Mr. Goyal already answered.
I said on that base of FY 2026, which we called out, based on 20% addition to Gabriel's growth rate of FY 2026. There's a revised base for FY 2027, for FY 2026, which has all the companies put together, and all the businesses put together, which are announced as of now. What kind of growth we should look at, 12 months from now based on whatever expansions that you have taken up?
FY 2026, we should not be able to consolidate actually. It may take time, from the regulatory approval point of view.
Sure.
This will be the way it is Gabriel today. I think in FY 2027, which will be the following year from FY 2026, I have already answered the growth, which is, we are expecting around 20% growth from the consolidation and normal growth of Gabriel also.
Okay. My last question is, other than this, what size of business still stays out of the Gabriel listed as a group? How much business still stays out of Gabriel listed?
That was, I think I already, we covered it last time also when we have a investor call. I think it's still to answer. We are fairly covered by 40% of the total group size with this consolidation exercise which we did. Rest remains with Anand Group actually.
Oh. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Jay Kale from Elara Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question again. Just in continuation to my earlier question. You know, on the margin side, you know, we had a target of 8%-10% for the standalone business, ex of any of these acquisitions being done. Where are we in that trajectory? Of course, we've traversed half of it. Any updated targets that you'd like to share, whether those targets will be met in the next one or two years? And, you know, how are we looking at margins from here for the core business?
I think as we have been discussing, we are looking at the standalone core business as a double-digit EBITDA. The continuous progress is there over the past maybe two to three years. I think we have been improving the profitability in a very systematic manner. As I mentioned that we don't want to do anything which is ad hoc by just cutting down some cost or something, because we are also a growing organization. We need to factor in lot of other aspects of the business to make sure that the business remains healthy. Our Core 90 program has been a great support in this journey, and we continue to deliver. The effort towards double-digit EBITDA remains there. As we have already mentioned that we are looking at next few quarters, I think, crossing that number.
Understood. Great. That's good to hear. Just one more question, sir, from your, you know, group entities getting integrated. Now, of course, one is the financial impact, but from a business standpoint, where are you more excited about in terms of synergies? Is it that you will get more access to the global markets because of the group entities' exposure to the global market? So any cross-selling of products of the existing entity that is possible or any cost structure benefits, or, you know, that are possible. Where is the management most excited about leveraging the strength of these group companies going forward?
See, again, these are all, I would say the four entities that I think we spoke about earlier. They are all sort of in different part of business. They're all in different kind of business. There will be different synergies with them, like the forging business that we discussed. Now, definitely we see a lot of opportunities looking at our strength in two-wheeler. There, aluminum forging is something where the market demand is very high. They're not not too many players, or rather I would say good players in the market today. People are looking at various alloys for lightweighting, and we see a fantastic opportunity there for growth. On the other business, similarly, on the Encisco and Chemco business, the network that Gabriel has today, in terms of our aftermarket presence and the brand that we have, we can leverage that brand, we can leverage the network, and we can definitely, in addition to the OE relationships, we can grow it in the aftermarket significantly. All right. With the other two, it is primarily, I think, it is more global relationships, it is more technology coming in, it is more, so we will have to, over a period of time, see and build more synergies there. So some of them are, I would say, immediate short term, some of them we are looking at more medium to long term.
Great. And just one last clarification on how do you see this PN3 approval for the sunroof business? Where are we in that? Of course, it's been rejected once, but you had mentioned that there is still effort going on. Any timeline whether, you know, what eventually it will be? It will be 100%, 49, 51, 60, anything on that, any clarity on that?
See, as you know that the government of India is not permitting anything right now. I think all what we expect that, I think the original understanding was that the Gabriel should be the minority. That is the original plan which was even filed and other thing. But we see that that is not happening. And we foresee that when we look at the Indian government conditions, I think it's still... I think the approval should only happen for minority shareholding for the Inalfa globally, actually. Otherwise, PN3 application will not be approved.
Okay, so fair to assume that it will be a majority. How much of majority for Gabriel? Still not known, but most likely it should be a majority for Gabriel eventually.
Yes. Those discussions are going on. It will depend upon two factors. One is the approval. Again, and the second is obviously the discussions with the partner. So once we file for it, we will definitely be able to share more details on that.
Sure, great. Thanks, and all the best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Mitul Shah from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. I have one question on your sunroof business. As we got decent traction in last one and a half year, but after, excuse me, still we are catering to Hyundai Kia group only, and as you also mentioned in your initial remark that other OEM related discussion is going on, but nothing concrete. So what would be the competitive landscape after considering other few players also entering in the same business with a global tie-ups, and all these are like a global technologically superior companies? So what would be our advantage over others, and how do you see the situation and our market share ambition in next 2-3 years?
Yeah. So as you rightly mentioned, I think when we started, or when we had the agreement with Inalfa to manufacture the sunroofs, the competitive landscape was very different. Post that, today the competitive landscape has dramatically changed, with I think almost every key global player having some tie-up in India. And many of them have their own parent association globally with different customers. So that also has to be sort of factored in. And this is a product which takes time for the OEM also, because obviously there's a long development time, there's also a long development cost that is engaged there. So it is unlike some of the other components where every model, every platform, this component keeps changing. The process here is little longish. So considering all this, I think we are quite optimistic about the growth beyond the anchor customers. But we are, again, I would say we are also fortunate to have two good anchor customers where we are we see a good growth path. But hopefully, I think in a quarter or maybe two quarters, we will definitely see some outcome coming in. The market will remain distributed.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, in terms of share of business, while it is today difficult to foresee how it pans out with different customers, but it will be quite distributed market the way it is seen.
So based on this, any minor changes in the strategy or possible slower ramp up going ahead, considering wait and watch situation initially, and then we'll ramp up at a later stage or something like that on the slower capex or anything?
So the only point is, because all the investments that we had planned for the Chennai plant, we have already done. So the capex has already been executed there. Some of the businesses are there, some of the businesses in anticipation. Now the only point here is on the second plant. This is a product which cannot be comfortably and easily transported. So you need to be closer to the customer just because of the sheer size of the product and the logistic cost, and secondly the criticality in terms of aesthetics and handling. So this is the what happens on the certain platforms that we are discussing both with Hyundai as well as the other customers. The only slowdown that may be possible, again, it all depends upon the decision that happens. If the decision goes in our favor, we may have to actually expedite the whole thing. If unfortunately the decision is not in our favor, then we will have to sort of wait and watch on the future investment for the time being. But whatever has to be done in Chennai is already implemented.
Thanks and all the best, sir.
Thank you.
Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Shubham Sehgal from Simple. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah. So my question was on the new JV we just had. So, like you mentioned, that our main reason to get into the JV was customer driven itself. But I wanted to ask, so will this be only a local play or a global play? And also the JV partner, what are their key strengths and their position in both fasteners and precision forged products globally?
Yeah, I think this is, as we said, this joint venture is started now, and the primary purpose is make in India for most of the customers. And of course, we will be looking global opportunities. That is definitely is part of the game, actually. That is not factored in our business plan, but that is something which we will be exploring with a partner, as we have done in other businesses. And similarly, this will also include the precision forging parts as part of the business plan.
So I wanted to ask, what are the key strengths and positions of our JV partner in the fasteners and precision forged products globally?
Position there for the JV partner, you know.
You are saying like what is the global presence of the JV partner?
The positioning of our JV partner, yes.
Yeah, I think this JV partner is primarily focusing in Korea, and that is what the plan is actually overall. So there are many players in this segment, and the category of fastener is differ in many varieties. In a nutshell, around I would say $500 million partner actually, basically.
And like, what would be the key strengths of a partner?
So again, as Mr. Goyal mentioned, the key strength is on two aspects. One is the specialized fasteners, specialized coatings. There are fasteners which are needed with very special coatings for specific applications, and obviously the precision forging. So these are the two areas where this company works. The top line, he has already mentioned, around $500 million is the scale of operations for them.
Okay.
In addition to their presence in US market.
Okay, all right. My next question was, on the merger of the group companies, could you let us know what would be the share of aftermarket for each of the JVs, and also what kind of synergies are we seeing?
See, on the synergies, I just answered this question. So we are seeing some short-term, mid-term synergies. With two of the entities, we are seeing some long-term synergies on technology, on the global market with the other two, which is Dana and Henkel. And aftermarket presence, again, it is very sort of different across all the entities. The percentage.
It differs, from the... from the product portfolio point of view, from the segment point of view, two-wheeler, three-wheeler, four-wheeler, and not only there is the commercial segment when we talk about the four-wheeler, but if I understand your question precisely, Henkel doesn't do so much of the aftermarket, but from the Dana point of view, we have almost, I would say, around 25% of the market share in the aftermarket, and similarly on the synchronizer ring side, there is no much of the aftermarket this segment, but similarly on the other side, the Enkenco related business, so it's a very very vast market actually, from the different point of view, like it's a DAF, it is coolant, it is brake fluids, so there are different products. So I think it's very difficult to calculate the market size as this market is also evolving, basically.
Okay. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Aditya from Securities Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Hello. Mr. Aditya, we are unable to hear you.
Hello, am I audible now?
Yes.
Yeah. Now it is clear, I think.
Yeah. So, sir, what would be the capex for the fastener plant which we are building?
So the overall capex I think we intend to have almost incurring in the project implementation around 60 to 70 crore altogether. That is for the entire project. Partly it will be contributed through equity, partly it will be contributed through the term loans with the game.
Understood. And when will this plant start commercialization?
I think it should take a year from now.
Understood. And sir, you mentioned that you are looking at 180 to 200 crores in this business by financial year 30. But sir, just wanted to understand, what would be the total market for these imported kind of fasteners in India?
Let me try to give you this. Imported market should be, in my view, around 1,500 crores.
Understood. So, sir, thanks for the opportunity. I'll come back in the case.
Thank you, Aditya.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Soham from RV Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. I'm audible.
Sir, your voice is very low.
Am I audible now?
Yes, sir.
Sir, what was the revenue in rooftop segment, sunroof segment this year, quarter?
Then 114 crores.
And sir, at what margin it was, like EBITDA margin?
14.4%, I think. Yeah.
Well, sir, and what are we expecting for FY26? Like around 400 crores.
See, We will not be able to share the projections for the future quarters on per se. The EBITDA margin, as we have already mentioned, we have been having this kind of a margin for quite some time. We have always maintained that the competition is increasing. In the long run, we are expecting it to stabilize around anywhere. While the effort will be to have a better margin, but we are looking at a long-term 12-13% EBITDA stabilizing there. There have been some challenges in the first quarter with one of the models of Kia not performing, the new launch, the Syros not performing up March. Practically June was almost nil production, so that has impacted the top line a little bit. We are not very hopeful even for the second quarter, but the projections after that have been sort of at least positive from Kia. So that would impact some of the top line growth as compared to the our projections, earlier projections.
Sir, and on the Gabriel standalone side, like what volume increase you should expect for FY26 compared to?
See, we will not be. As I said, the first quarter has been good. We have outperformed the market significantly in all the segments. We just gave you a brief on that. For the full year revenue projections, we will not be able to share any forward-looking guidance, please.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Vishnu Selvam from UTI AMC. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the presentation and congratulations on a good set of results. I just wanted to get some clarity on the utilization levels for the second line once it becomes operational in towards year 25. What kind of utilization levels are you looking at for the sunroof post operation?
So on the second line, we would be looking at say next year we would be looking at around maybe 50% utilization. Is my estimate. We will have to sort of map the numbers. So just a second. Yeah. I think we are looking at around 40-50% utilization on the current capacity for the next year.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Thank you. And over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you. So I take this opportunity to thank everyone for joining the call. I hope we have been able to address all your queries. For any further information, please get in touch with any of us or SGA or our investor relations advisor. Thank you so much for joining the call. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Gabriel India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. And you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.